Amen. We are so thankful this morning for our freedom. Our freedom to worship. And we're so thankful for the freedom that Jesus Christ has given to us. Thank you, Lord, for the price you paid. And thank you, Lord, for the price that was paid by many so that we could be here today to worship you in this beautiful facility. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Welcome to the river. Welcome everyone listening online. We are glad to be in the house of the Lord this morning. Got a little feedback going on up here. It's the anointing. Hallelujah. Jesus is in the house. The presence of the Lord is here. You know, I love to hear your voices. You know, we kind of hide behind the I worship and all the noise and the music. I love just to hear the congregation sing. And I believe God loves that too. Somebody say amen. Amen. Even if you're making a joyful noise out there. People get intimidated when the music comes way down. Who's listening to me? But you know, you should just sing. God said, make a joyful noise. Whatever your noise is, just go ahead and make that joyful noise. Hallelujah. So let's go to the Lord in prayer this morning. Father, thank you for those that have gathered in the house of the Lord today, for those who are listening online. God, I know there were people who wanted to be here but couldn't be here today. And Lord, we just thank you, Father, for our health and our strength, God, that we've gathered in this house today. And I ask, Lord, that you minister to every heart, to every mind, Father, to every person that's listening online, Father God. I thank you that your anointing flows, Father, from this place. Lord, we thank you that you are with us today. And we thank you, Father, for our freedom. Lord, that you paid the price for us. And Lord, you put it in the hearts of men and women to fight for the freedom to worship. You put it in the hearts of men and women to come to this country that there would be freedom to worship, Father. I thank you, Lord. I thank you for each one of them, God, that made that journey, that prepared the way for us. Thank you, Lord. We remember them today and we remember you in Jesus' name. Amen. Our Memorial Day message today, the title is, Do You Remember? And we're going to take a look at Joshua's life and the instructions God gave him, because he told Joshua to make sure that the children of Israel remembered by setting up a memorial. And so when your children ask, then you can remind them of the goodness. When they start asking questions, what's this memorial for? What's these stones for? So this is a holiday weekend. Tomorrow isn't just a holiday that's set aside for picnics and fun, but it's a day off work, right? Most people are like, woo, 3-day weekend, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. But this holiday, tomorrow is Memorial Day. And the holiday was officially recognized in 1868. And as a day, May 30th, to honor those who died in the Civil War. And as I said that, I remembered seeing a newscast. My heart was saddened that there are so many college students that are saying, we shouldn't even celebrate Memorial Day. Why do we even have it? That's their hard attitude. You know, an unthankful, grateful heart is from the enemy. It's a hard heart. Christians have a thankful, grateful heart. You can tell a Christian by how thankful they are. We need to make sure we're thanking God for what we have and for what God has done. But that is an ungrateful heart when you do not even consider that somebody sacrificed their life for you. So that you could go to school, so that you could have a car, so you could have an iPhone, so you could start your own business. Come on. I saw Trish shaking her head. Yes, she must have saw the same broadcast I saw. I was shocked that somebody would say that. I remember every year when this holiday would come around, how weepy my mom would get. War is a terrible thing. And there's a great price that's been paid. And men don't come back the same often. My daddy didn't come back the same. After once, my brother didn't come back the same. After you've been to the war, it's just the grace of God that those who come back alive are able to deal with everything that happened. You know, we need Jesus in our life. Oh, Lord, we pray for these students, Lord, that have the idea that we don't need to be thankful, grateful, or remember. Set a day aside to remember. But anyway, later it was changed to honor all those who had died in wars. It was changed to the last Monday in May. It was also called Decoration Day, and because of the custom of decorating the graves with flowers and flags. Anybody here ever gone out and did that? My dad was a veteran. We always made sure he had flowers and a flag. Hallelujah. I really didn't want to go with Mom. Does anybody else remember as a child, your mother taking you to the cemetery and you really didn't want to go? Am I the only one? You just don't understand the value of all of that when you're in fifth grade. You just don't really get it. And you know how sad your parents are. And the sadness, you just want to go play and try and push it away. Isn't that true? Isn't that how we deal with anything? We just get busy. When we become adults, we work and work. So we don't have to deal with the sadness. Yeah, you know what I'm talking about. Somebody's waving at me this morning. But anyway, the decoration day. Flowers and flags on the graves. And so it is set aside to honor any individual who has impacted our lives. We set up memorials, not just, this is particularly for soldiers who gave their life, whose blood was shed, but we also need to have memorials in our lives to remember the people who have impacted us in such an insightful way. And so I'm going to share with you the biblical definitions for memorial. From the Strong's, it denotes a memorial, that which keeps alive the memory of someone or something. And in the Hebrew, it's a reminder, specifically remembrance, offering, a memorial. In John 16:33, and at the river we like to read our scriptures together, so let's read this together. These things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. And this was Jesus talking to his disciples. And he said, in this world, in this lifetime, you're going to have trouble. Just because we serve Jesus doesn't mean we're trouble-free. Has anybody noticed that? Yeah. Hallelujah. But we have Jesus on our side. So every person, no matter who you are, has struggles in life. You can look at other people and think, oh, I wish I was them, because they don't have any problems. Well, believe me, they have problems. Tell your neighbor they have problems. In this life, though, we have to remember we're also going to have good times. In fact, the truth is we probably have more good times than bad times. It's just that we probably remember the bad times more than the good times. I was thinking this morning, and while I was praying, I got this thought. I believe it was from the Lord. Because people who complain are usually complaining because they're trying to understand something. You ever thought about that? People complain and they talk to you about something because they're trying to understand. And we know that God has all the details of our situation. But we also know that God doesn't let us in on all the details of our situation. That's why we serve Jesus, because he's got it all figured out. And whether we understand or not, we're going to have faith and hope and trust in him. And hallelujah. Yeah, let's give the Lord a praise. And God does not like complainers. You know, the children of Israel were punished for complaining. How many parents here love it when their kids complain? You're ready to whip them. Oh, yeah, that's right. We don't do that anymore in our culture. Excuse me. That's the problem. Amen. But complainers, the scripture says they're going to the lake of fire. You know that? So were the cowards. So we better be brave and strong in the Lord, right? And stop complaining. We're not going to figure it out. We're not going to figure out everything. This happened because of this, because of that. And you try to connect all these dots. And it's really a waste of time. Tell your neighbor it's a waste of time. So we're going to go to Joshua chapter 4. And in our text this morning, we see how God instructed Joshua to set up memorial stones. And it was a visual reminder for the children of Israel that every time they passed that way, it was a reminder of the great things God had done for them. And so it's like Pastor Dave last week, Brother David, he was talking about flannel graph. I was looking around at some of you guys. How many had flannel graph in your Sunday school? As a Sunday school teacher, we use flannel graph. Yeah, he was talking about that last week. And it's a visual. That's the visual we had. Now we have all this media and all the lights in action, and I'm not so sure that's really real healthy at all times for kids. It gets them stimulated and hyped up and going. But sometimes it's nice just to see the flannel graph and get excited when a piece moves. Hallelujah. So the truth is, though, we remember better with visual aids. And when Jesus, he used a lot of visual aids. If you remember, he talked about the sparrow. You know, we see all these little sparrows. And he reminded his disciples, God sees the very sparrow. He sees every one of them fall. Isn't that something? God keeps track of all the wildlife on the earth. Can you imagine? Wow. It's not hard for him. It's not hard for him. But if we have our Bibles, let's take a look. And while we're going there, I'm just going to give a little background. So the children of Israel have been held in bondage in Egypt under Pharaoh. And Moses negotiated their release. And with God's supernatural help, hallelujah, they were set free. And they went through the desert and they spent 40 years in the desert with Moses as their leader. So we can only imagine all of the trouble they faced. You know, Bible scholars suggest that there was somewhere around 2 million people that were with Moses in the desert. Think about 2 million people out in the desert. And Moses got to listen to all their problems, feed 2 million people, clothe 2 million people. Imagine washing clothes for 2 million people. Can you just imagine how difficult that was? I mean, they carried everything with them, and when it was time to move, they'd sound the trumpets, and the kids would have to start packing up their toys, putting away things, you know, and they might have just got unpacked, just got settled in, and it was time to load up again and take off. So I can't imagine having 2 million people, and that's probably why they complain so much, right? But anyway, finally, Joseph, who was a leader who served under Moses, was the one that took them over into the promised land. And on one side, there was the hot, dry desert. And then on the other side was the promised land. And it was a very beautiful place. So while they were crossing the Jordan River, which separated the dry land and the promised land, God tells Joshua to do these instructions. So let's read our first verses 1-3. And it came to pass, when all the people had completely crossed over the Jordan, that the Lord spoke to Joshua, saying, take for yourselves 12 men from the people, one man from every tribe, and command them, saying, take for yourselves 12 stones from here, out of the midst of the Jordan, from the place where the priest's feet stood firm. You shall carry them over with you, and leave them in the lodging place where you lodge tonight. And so these were the instructions the Lord spoke to Joshua. We're going to go on, because we're finding out in the next verses that Joshua, the leader, receives instructions from the Lord, and then he's going to go and he's going to call 12 men. Not on the phone. Hallelujah. Let's read. Then Joshua called 12 men whom he had appointed from the children of Israel, one man from every tribe. And Joshua said to them, cross over before the ark of the Lord your God into the midst of the Jordan, and each one of you take up a stone on his shoulder according to the number of the tribes of the children of Israel, that this may be a sign among you when your children ask in time to come, saying, what do these stones mean to you? Then you shall answer them that the waters of the Jordan were cut off before the ark of the covenant of the Lord. When it crossed over the Jordan, the waters of the Jordan were cut off. And these stones shall be for a memorial to the children of Israel forever. So God, we might ask ourselves the question, why would God want them to put up stones as a memorial? And it was to jar their memory. It was to shake their memory. Have you ever suddenly remembered something that you had totally forgotten about? Because you saw something and it just jarred your memory. There it was. Because we tend to forget. We all have bouts of memory loss. Some more than others. Bishop Hammond always says that he has a photographic mind. The only problem is that he keeps running out of film. So our lives, our world, they're full of memorials. And it's to help us remember. You probably have some plaques on your wall. Maybe your graduation certificate. You wear a wedding band. Not that we need to remember, oh, yeah, I'm married. No, that's not why we wear one. And then special tombstones. People pick special tombstones to be remembered. And then what we did this morning was receive communion. Jesus said, do this in remembrance of me. And so we receive communion. And we get baptized. If you haven't been baptized, let us know. Right there is the tank. It's been a while since we filled it up with water, but if there's somebody that wants to be baptized, we will do that. Hallelujah. But if you remember, Israel had a problem remembering what God did for them, because God would do something magnificent for them, and then they would complain, and they would want something else, and God would do something for them, and they would complain again. And God got to the point where he wanted to destroy all of them, but Moses stood in the gap for them and cried out for them and said, God, don't take them, take me, don't take the children of Israel. He was an intercessor that stood in the gap. You can do that. You can be an intercessor that stands in the gap for someone. Hallelujah. But they had a problem. They would forget. And in Deuteronomy 6:12, it says, then beware lest you forget the Lord who brought you out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. You know, we right now in America have generations that do not know the Lord. And the Bible warns of that. There'll be a generation that does not know the Lord. And so as the church, as Christians who know him, it is our responsibility to get to those people, to tell them the good news of Jesus Christ, to be a witness of the life-changing power that is in Jesus Christ. Jesus is still the answer for the world today. Hallelujah. He is the answer. Thank you, Lord. So they took all these stones, a heap of stones, to be a visual reminder. And every time they passed that way, it would remind them of what God has done for them. And so my challenge to you is we personally need memorials. We need things that help us remember what God has done for us. It's like memories of places. I like to drive through our old neighborhood here in Elkhart. We grew up down on 6th Street, down in the hole. And I'll go down on 6th Street, and I'll go down and drive through there. And I just remember as a childhood how carefree it was, and people were not... People were different, okay? Different. Because there was a stability, a foundation of God in our country. You know, Elkhart has a church on almost every corner, you know? And when we started our outreach, that was one of the reasons we went down in the hole to do our outreach, is because it had transitioned and changed so much. And we knew that God wanted us to get in there with the good news of the gospel. And at our first Love in Action program, there were about 75 children. And Pastor Scott asked, he said, how many of you know the name of the Son of God? And you know how kids are. They all want to give an answer. But he called out on three different kids. And the first one said, Joshua. And I don't remember what the next one said, but Jonah. But then finally the third kid got it right, that it was Jesus. And I said, Lord, this is Elkhart, Indiana, a conservative, mostly Mennonite community, churches on every corner, and our own people in our own neighborhoods don't even know who the Son of God is. And that's when the Lord began to spoke to me, and he said, before you go to the nations, you've got to reach your cities. You know, before you become a minister, you've got to minister to your family. You've got to take care of your household. You know, if you gain the whole world and your children are lost, it is going to profit absolutely nothing. You can be famous in ministry, but if your kids aren't saved, then there is something that you missed along the way. Because God's word is faithful. God's word is faithful. You've got to keep it in front of them day and night, whether they want to hear it or not. In our house, it was on plaques everywhere. And right on the TV, it said, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And anything else that was on that TV that was not serving God, it needed to be turned off. You've got to watch your children. It is a lot nowadays to keep track of everything that's going on. Media's bombarding, mind programming. And you've heard me say this for years. It is mind programming. We've got to untangle ourselves from the world. But there are places. You know, I remember the house we lived in down on 6th Street. I was in the third grade, and my mom had a Good News Bible Club. And that's where I received Jesus. And today, I still have the little booklet. We had little booklets that mom had made that had the different colors of salvation in them, and you'd hang them on you with a little pin. And everyone that got saved got one of these little booklets. And I still have it. You know, it's very fragile. But I still have it because it's a memory. You know, when I see it, I remember that time. My mom led me to the Lord. And that's, parents should be leading their children to the Lord. Hallelujah. But, and then we have memories of people. We remember those whom God has put in our lives to help meet our needs at difficult times. Whether that need was food, finances, an encouraging word, a prayer, a visit in the hospital, whatever that was. You know, we remember those people. We need to remember them. We need to lift them up in prayer. Hallelujah. And just thank God for the lessons they taught us and for what we experienced from their people graciously giving you time, right? Hallelujah. And then we have mementos, yes, of the past. I don't know if you go on vacation and collect stuff. Anybody collect things on vacation? Some people collect coffee cups, spoons, magnets, T-shirts. But it's something to remind us. You know, Leonard and I, we'd always take the girls, I love the ocean, go get all those shells. We still have our shell collections and big shells that we found on the ocean. And that was always so exciting. And those were just, you know, it's just awesome. It helps us remember those special times in our life. So we kind of just walk down memory lane, you know, to remind us of special events that happen. Because we should dwell on the good things that God has done for us, you know. And stop talking to unsaved people about the bad things going on in your life. They're not even going to want to get saved, you know. Because we tend to forget. So many things happen in life. I always say life is full. You know, it's just full. And most of the time, it feels like it's moving fast and furious. Anybody else feel that way? And that's why we need to slow down the pace. You know, tomorrow everybody gets off work, I think. No, they don't. Because retail does all of those Memorial Day sales, don't they? Yeah, I know some of you are already watching for specific items on sale tomorrow. But God wants us to remember. And so, have you ever found yourself saying, I remember when? I remember when. Yeah. And it's okay. It's okay. You know, some people say, you talk too much about the past, or you need to get into the future, but we do need to remember specific things. So going back to Joshua, God said to them, when your children ask, what does this mean? What are these stones for? You can tell them how I provided for you. And church, that is what we need to do this morning. We need to remember. We need to remember how God and when God brought us up. I remember when we started our church here in Elkhart. I remember the Lord said to us, do not despise small beginnings. And when we started our Love and Action program, all we had was Leonard's pickup truck and my piano amp and a jam box. And we would get in the back of that and we would sound the music, play the music loud, and we would go up and down the streets and yell, it's Love and Action time. And then there was a whole team of people that had games and we had treats and we had Bible stories and we would act out dramas down in the neighborhood. But it was just small. But we just used what we had. And so many times we have what we need. We won't use it because we want more. If I just had this, then I could do that. Have you ever told yourself that? I mean, those are kind of like our mind thoughts. If I just had this, then I could do that, and life would be so much better. But the Lord wants us to start right where we're at. Because he wants to bring us up. God's always lifting us up. You know, we bought the theater downtown, and it was a musty, dusty, no lights in the theater, you know, and no chairs. But we bought it because God led us that way. And so that's where we started, downtown in the theater. And you know what? God began to supply one thing after another for us because we obeyed him. And so don't despise small beginnings. You know, God blesses us. And look where we are today, church. Look where we are today. Look what the Lord has done. He has blessed us above and beyond, not because we're so smart, not because we have this great ability, but God keeps his word and God keeps his promises, and he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Hallelujah. Deuteronomy 8:18 says, it's God, the Lord, who gives us the ability to produce wealth. God gives you the ability to do that. And at this present time, you can get a job anywhere. I've seen so many hiring signs, you know, and I'm thinking, you know what, if the people of God need a promotion, they need to make more money, you could probably find a better job than what you got now. You just got to be willing to step out and go get it. Hallelujah. Because they need dependable workers, and the people of God, the River of Life saints, should be the most dependable people in Elkhart. Come on, amen. Our South Bend, our Mishawaka. I was thinking this last week, you know, you reap what you sow, right? And so if you have been diligent, if you have been faithful on the job, if you're honoring the vision of your company, you know, God has a promotion for you. This is how things work. You line yourself up. You position yourself before the Lord and before whoever you're working for. Hallelujah. And promotion comes. Yes, it does. Hallelujah. Because God knows. So we're going to go on. Because not only do we need to be brought up, we also need to remember when he brought us out. Come on, we need to remember when we first got saved. We need to remember how excited we were. And we also need to remember how it felt. I mean, I was just a little girl, but I felt like a ton of bricks just lifted off my shoulder. There is something on the inside of us. We know that if we do not accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior and ask him for the forgiveness of our sins, we are doomed to hell. We're born that way. And he's the only one who can bring us out of that. Hallelujah. You got to remember the story of when you first got saved. You need to remember that. And some of you need to remember the next time you got saved. And then some people need to remember the next time they got saved. Because several people go through salvation several times. That's the truth. Yeah, there's a witness in the house. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, that I can come back. Thank you, Lord, that you didn't close the door on me. Thank you, Lord, that you didn't kick me to the curb. Thank you, Lord, that you didn't give up on me like everybody else gave up on me. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. And that's the grace that we need to extend to one another and to people. Because people make mistakes, they make bad decisions, they fall down. Come on, the scripture says the righteous man falls down 7 times, but he gets back up. You keep getting back up. That's the thing. If your brother or sister falls, you should be right there to help him back up, not condemn them. Jesus, help us. That is a religious spirit. It's a Pharisaical spirit, and it just wants to beat them down to the ground, but that's not the way Jesus is. Jesus is always waiting with open arms. So let's read our next scripture, 1 Corinthians 1:26-30. For you see your calling, brethren, that not many wise according to the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to put to shame the wise. And God has chosen the weak things of the world to put to shame the things which are mighty. Let's read on. And the base things of the world and the things which are despised, God has chosen, and the things which are not, to bring to nothing the things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence, but of him you are in Christ Jesus, who became for us wisdom from God and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. So you look around and you see God did not choose very many that were wise, nor many that are noble. But God chose the foolish things of the world to put to shame the wise. So those that criticize and condemn and critique you because they're so wise, when God is done with your life and what he wants to do in you, they are put to shame. Thank you, Jesus. Just put them to shame. You know, you've got to get to a point where it doesn't even bother you. We've had more criticism, more critiquing from people with religious legal spirits than I can even begin to tell you about. And at first, it used to really bother us. And many times, Leonard is the one that would get the blunt end of it, or I would hand him the phone. Oh, honey, I think this calls for you. But you know, when we came into this town, there wasn't an apostolic prophetic church. There wasn't people who were teaching, ministering spiritual gifts or how to heal the soul and restore the foundations of your life. We pioneered for years in this city with the prophetic, with praise arts, with the flags, with dance, and people criticized and critiqued us, and we were the talk of the town. It went through Leonard's factory that we were teaching people how to walk off the stage in air. I'm like, wow, that's amazing, you know? You know, it's like you don't even answer back to that because it's so bizarre, you know? It's like, oh my goodness, these people. But I'm just saying, God does not choose the elite, the movie stars, the wealthy. He's chosen you. Tell your neighbor, he chose you. He chose you. And what he chose you to do is the most important thing you could ever do. You don't have to be like everybody else. Hey, that's one thing I loved growing up Pentecost. I didn't care if I looked different than the world. It didn't matter to me if I was doing what the world was doing. I lost a desire for the world. And when people made fun of me, talked about me, hey, that's okay. Go ahead. God is on my side. Amen. You know, and you end up eating those words when you start talking like that. Hallelujah. God turns it around. But we need to remember. We need to think about these things. God's done so much for us. He's been so faithful to us. We know that if he hadn't forgiven us for our sins, that we would go to hell. We would go to hell. There is a hell. There are churches teaching there is not a hell. And that eventually everybody's just going to be saved and hell's going to be avoided. I do not see that in the scripture, do you? No, I don't see it. Some people try to find their fulfillment in drugs, on a pill. They need a pill or they need alcohol to find fulfillment. Your fulfillment will only come when you meet Jesus Christ. Yes, Lord. He brought us out. Thank you, Lord, for where you brought me from. Can we just thank him? Thank you, Lord, from where you brought us from. Thank you, Lord. Thank you brought us out, Lord. Praise you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. And the last point is remember that he brings us through. Thank you, Jesus. We know we've been through a lot of battles. You may have had a battle with your job, lost your job, lost your finances. You may have had a battle with cancer. You may have had a battle with a divorce or bankruptcy or abuse. We have battles in this life. You know, the enemy wants us to feel rejected. He wants to make sure you feel alone and that you're abandoned and there's no one who cares about you. And your problem is so great, nobody's ever had a problem like you. Have you ever heard the devil say that? You know, people come in for counseling and no one's ever had this kind of problem. No, there is nothing new under the sun. Let's go back to the Word of God. You know, we've got to go to the Word of God. Otherwise, we are not going to stay stable in these end times. We've got to know the Word. We've got to know the Word. There is nothing new under the sun. Hallelujah. So someone's been abandoned. Someone's had a broken heart. Hallelujah. But God. I like to say, but God. He brings us through all of those battles. And you can honestly say when you come through, I remember when he brought me through. Hallelujah. He's my hope. You know, I was so sick in the hospital 2 weeks ago. I couldn't even stand up. I had a dizzy spell hit me that just absolutely put me on a ship that was out on a raging sea. And I had no equilibrium whatsoever. And I heaved and I heaved and I heaved. I was so sick. But I didn't want to go to the hospital, you know. And so Leonard and Lisa Grounder had come and spent the night because she had come to pick up the big dogs. Because I'm like, I can't take care of these Rottweilers in this shape. And so she came to get them. And then she took one look at me and she said, oh, do you mind if I just sleep on the couch? And I said, oh, that'd be great, you know. And so she stayed. And in the morning, they're trying to convince me to go to the hospital. And I'm like, no, because I didn't want to move. I don't know if you've ever had a spell like that, but I didn't want to move. And it had been years since I had one, when in my late 20s, early 30s, I had the first dizzy spell, and everything in my head just started to spin left. And when I closed my eyes, I felt like I was on a record player just going like this. And the children were little, and we didn't know what it was. And the doctors weren't for sure what it was. And they diagnosed me with something called vestibular neuritis. And they gave me medication to take after I had the spell. Well, I really never wanted to have another one of them. After a year of them with vertigo, never knowing when your vertigo is going to go off. And, you know, Leonard and I fasted, we prayed. And one night in church, we had a healing line. I didn't go to the healing line, but I sat in my seat and I said, Lord, I believe you have not called me to live like this. I believe my body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. I believe all claims have been settled against me. Every curse has been settled against me because of the finished work of the cross, because of the blood of Jesus. And I said, Lord, I just believe you're healing me right now. You know, I don't have to get up and go. You don't have to get up and go. You can sit right there and Jesus heals you. Hallelujah. His arm is never short. And you know, the Lord healed me. And from that point on, I didn't have another one. I did watch my diet. I was careful how much salt I ate because that does affect your inner ears and your equilibrium if you get too much sodium in your system. And so anyway, the neurologist decided that's what it was again. And her first question was, so, Have you been on your diet? Low sodium? I said, well, over 40 years, no. You know, you just kind of start enjoying the food again and not even really think about the sodium because I didn't have any spells. And I never add salt. But anyway, long story short, when I was under this attack, and I believe a lot of it was demonic, some of it was because I was not following my diet, okay? I'll admit that. But in the midst of your storm and in the midst of your weakness, when you are at your lowest point, the enemy comes in and he tries to bring more destruction into your life. And I could feel him pressing against me. And I kept saying, Satan, the blood of Jesus is against you. Get off of me. Get out of here. And I warred. And the intercessors warred. And I know that God stopped something that the enemy wanted to bring so much destruction. Because God is ready to break through. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Hamashikamashata. Yes, Lord. Aradadabasikanamashata. Kikamashata. Shialadadabasi. Yes, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Because God will bring you through. God brought me through. God brought me through. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. So no matter what's going on, when you call on the name of the Lord, even in your weakest point, God comes and the enemy cannot have you. We've got to know that before we get in the midst of our storm, before we get into a place where we can't even take care of ourselves. We've got to know that God is on our side and that we have friends in the faith, intercessors that are standing in agreement. You know, I love the intercessors. We lock our shields of faith together and we're a force to be reckoned with. Against the powers of darkness. You see, God is getting ready to break through in this place. He's getting ready to show up and show out. And God has a mandate upon the river of life and an assignment to be fulfilled. And let's give him a praise. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Well, my faith increased in God. When you go through those trials, your faith increases in God. Your reliance and dependence upon God increases. It's like, God, I know you're faithful. I know I can lean on those everlasting arms. I know God has me. Just like he had Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the fiery furnace. He's got us in the midst of all of our tests and trials and tribulations. And we need to remember. Yes, we need to remember. Tell your neighbor, you need to remember. God brought us up. God brought us out. And God brought us through. And God's going to continue to bring us up to a higher place in him. Hallelujah. He's going to continue to bring us out. And he's going to begin to take us through. Because he's got the plan. Hallelujah. I'm so thankful. That's why I said I wouldn't want to be in the best hospital in town. I just want to be in the house of the Lord. I just want to be in the house of the Lord. I'd rather be here with the people of God than any place else on earth. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. So we need to remember and write some things down so that we can pass those things on to our children. We've got to tell our children what God has done for us. Be a witness first to your family, to your own household, then get your neighbors. Hallelujah. Pastor Leonard's out every day checking on neighbors, talking to neighbors, seeing what he can help them with, showing the love of God, being God's hands and feet. God honors that. Be faithful to your household because you are a living stone. You see, they set up stones as a memorial to remember that God brought them through. But I'm telling you, you are a living stone. You are alive. We come together on Sundays as living stones to build a spiritual habitation for the presence of the Lord to dwell in. And God is here. And God hears us and answers our prayer. So this morning, we want to remember. We want to thank God for His many blessings, for our freedom and our faith and our future. So let's give the Lord a praise this morning. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Is your name Robin? And her daughter next to her used to come to church from the Love in Action program. Hallelujah. So, you know, there is fruit from Love in Action. There's fruit. Angela was talking with someone, I think it's maybe her new boss, but she was telling her that she remembers the Love in Action program. She said, I used to lay in bed and try to sleep in on Saturday morning, and here they'd come with all that loud music. And we cranked it up. We got in trouble from the police more than once because we like it loud. But the kids loved it, you know. And we did warfare songs, you know. We are the army of the Lord songs. And just teaching them to be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. Hallelujah. I love you. I love you. I love you. Father, thank you for your presence today. Thank you, Lord, for the word that's gone forth. Father, I thank you that you continue to teach your people. You continue to draw them close to you. Lord, I just thank you, Father, for our River of Life family. And I thank you, God, for what you're doing here. I thank you, Lord, that you just help us remember where you brought us from, Lord, and I thank you that you give us a glimpse of where you're taking us to. And Father, help us just to enjoy the time, the day, and our times together, Lord. We just thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, during COVID, when we were doing a timed service, because we were always online, we just got into a habit of just being, you know, short and hurrying things along. You know, the Lord told me, you need to just throw that out the window. Hallelujah. You know, everyone knows if you have to leave, you're free to leave. No condemnation. But you know, when God is talking to us, we need to listen. And when God has brought us together, there's always a purpose for that. Because we draw life from one another. We draw life from the Spirit of the Lord, yes, and we draw life from one another. We're connected. Tell your neighbor we're connected. We're connected. Yeah, we're connected. The Holy Spirit connects us for life. For life, for life, for life.